Good morning. Welcome to our service and a special welcome to all visitors we have with us this morning. We should also welcome those who are unable to be here and are listening to the service, the recording of the service, which is available on CD and on the web. While I'm talking about the web, Joan has asked me to suggest that you go and have a look at it and give her some feedback. There's an opportunity to make comments, and if you can have a look at it, if there's things you like or things you don't like, things we could improve, let us know, and she'll see what she can do. Following the service, tea and coffee are served in the hall at the back of the church, and you're welcome. You'll also find a tradecraft stall there, a bit of advertising. The Easter eggs are available to buy and order, and the Cults Kirk Easter card is on sale. Ewan has asked me to inform you that he would like to have items for the magazine by Tuesday. The Guild raised £830 at their coffee morning yesterday, and thanks go out to helpers and all who supported this event. Next Sunday, we're going to try something different. The choir are going to meet at 9:45 here at the front of the sanctuary to run through the hymns that are going to be used that Sunday. And anyone, that's anyone in the congregation who wishes, young, not so young, is encouraged to come along and join in. And there's no obligation to join the choir. There will be a round court service. I'm jumping around now. A round court service today. It's actually at 2:30. They're going to be going through a shortened version of the World Day of Prayer. If you can go and join them, that would be great. Back to next Sunday. Following the service, there will be a short meeting of the trustees. That's the Kirk session and the congregational board. The purpose of this meeting is to receive and hopefully approve the annual accounts. There will, however, be one additional item of business to be attended to by the session in relation to the Cluster Group Pentecost event. Today, we're being led in worship by Joan Thorne. Joan, in addition to being a curriculum director at Aberdeen College, is training for the ordained local ministry. And Joan will be with us until Easter. So over to you, Joan. Thank you.
Thank you, Graham. And good morning, everyone. Can everybody hear me okay? Yeah, I've got a wee bit of a cold, so if I have to stop every now and again and take some water, please forgive me. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 33. So I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 5. So let's just take a moment to be quiet before the Lord. All you that are righteous, shout for joy for what the Lord has done. Praise him, all you that obey him. Give thanks to the Lord with harps. Sing to him with stringed instruments. Sing a new song to him. Play the harp with skill for joy. The words of the Lord are true, and all his works are dependable. The Lord loves what is righteous and just. His constant love fills the earth. Amen. And may God bless to us that reading from his holy word. We're going to start our service this morning by singing number 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
side. Come up. Who likes sweeties? You all like sweeties? Nobody doesn't like sweeties, do they? I love sweeties. And these are my favourites. These are Mars. Anybody not like Mars bars? Do you not? Really? Who doesn't like a Mars bar, for heaven's sake? But these are my sweeties. And I really don't want to share them. I want to sit this afternoon in front of the telly with them. But it wouldn't be nice for me not to share them, would it? Would it? If you had sweeties, would you share them with me?
Yes.
You would? Are you sure? You're sure. Okay. Right. So, I'll share them. So there's one for you. And there's one for you. But I like you, so I'm going to give you two. Okay? Is that okay? No grumbling. And I'm going to give you two. But I really like you, so I'm going to give you three. Now, is that fair? No, it's not fair, is it? It's not fair at all. But they're my sweeties. So surely I can share them any way I like. But it's really not fair to do that, is it? There's lots of unfair things happening in the world. Last week, Peter spoke to us about it being unfair where a farmer would grow a banana, and then by the time it gets to us and we buy it, they actually get very little of the money. And that's not fair either, is it? So, I'm going to make you fair. Two more to you. Okay, I think I've got enough. Two more to you. And look at that. One more to you. And now I haven't got any left. Never mind. I can do without them. So, when things happen in a world that's unfair, it's called injustice. And there's lots of things that are unjust in the world. And there's lots of things that's unjust. What do you think is not fair about some of the things you have to do? What about homework? Who has to do their homework before they get to watch TV or play their PlayStation or whatever? Everybody have to do that? Yeah. Do you think that's fair? No, it's not fair. It's not fair at all. Okay, what about getting blamed for something that you didn't do? If you've got brothers and sisters, do you get blamed for things that you don't do sometimes? Or do you blame them for things that you've done maybe sometimes? So that's not fair either, is it? And there's lots of unfair things happening in the world. There's children that have no parents. That's not fair. There's children who don't have clean water to drink or food to eat. That's not fair either, is it? So we've got to do something about that as people who love Jesus, because that's what Jesus expects us to do. In the Bible, there's quite a lot of stories of people who have unjust things happen to them, that's things that's not fair. So can anybody think of a Bible story where something happens that's not fair? Do you know the story of Joseph with a multicolored coat? What happened to Joseph? Well, two things happened to him that was really unfair. One, his brother sold him. That wasn't very nice, was it? And then he was put in prison for something he didn't do, so that wasn't very nice either. No? What about Daniel? Do you know the story of Daniel? What happened to Daniel? Remember? He was put into a lion's den with a load of lions, so that wasn't fair, and all he did was pray. So that definitely wasn't fair, was it? And then there's Jesus. So we'll come back to Jesus in a wee minute. But the thing about Joseph and Daniel is that even although unjust things were happening to them and things that weren't fair, the Bible tells us that God was with Joseph. So God was with Joseph all the time. And God was with Daniel as well, because what happened, the lions didn't eat Daniel. did they? No. So God kept the lion's mouth shut so that they couldn't eat them. And then Jesus, of course, Jesus was unfairly treated as well, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Yeah, it was unfair what happened to Jesus. But because Jesus suffered that unfairness, that means that we, one day, will be in heaven with him. And that's fair for us, but not fair for Jesus. But that is why we have to love Jesus and why we have to worship him. And that's what we're here to do today. So, what we're going to do, you can go back to your seats. Don't let your chocolate melt. And if you don't get to eat it before lunchtime, keep it till after lunch. Okay. Right, we're going to sing our next hymn. And it's hymn number 256. May the God of hope go with us. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer at the end of this prayer. So if you don't know it, there should be a card in the seat in front of you to follow along. Let's join together in our prayers of adoration. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for bringing us together again this morning to worship you. We glimpse your beauty in the rising and setting sun, in the new shoots of spring and freshness of the air each new day. We sense your power in a brisk wind, the roar of the ocean, and even in the gentle breeze. We come with our plans, our hopes, and our dreams to offer you everything we have and everything we are, knowing that we are nothing without you. Precious Jesus, we see your love stretched out upon a cruel cross. We stand in awe of the pure love poured out for us in your sacrifice. Holy Spirit, We see your work in our transformed lives. Your still, small voice, comforting, guiding, and calling. Your love sees our failings and forgives. Your love feels our pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows our grief and gives us comfort. Forgive us when we fail to live lives that reflect your love. Forgive us the many times we take for granted all that you have done for us. Transform us through the power of your Spirit and empower us to serve you this day and all days this coming week. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name, saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For thine the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forevermore. Amen. Sorry, I went into my normal version there. Our reading this morning is going to be read for us by Vera Crichton.
Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. Jesus feeds a great crowd. When Jesus heard the news about John, he left there in a boat and went to a lonely place by himself. The people heard about it, so they left their towns and followed him by land. Jesus got out of the boat, and when he saw the large crowd, his heart was filled with pity for them, and he healed those who were ill. That evening, his disciples came to him and said, It is already very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away. Let them go to the villages and buy food for themselves. They don't have to leave, answered Jesus. You yourself give them something to eat. All we have here are 5 loaves and 2 fish, they replied. Then bring them here to me, Jesus said. He ordered the people to sit down on the grass. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and gave thanks to God. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Everyone ate and had enough. Then the disciples took up 12 baskets full of what was left over. The number of men who ate were about 5,000, not counting the women and children.
Thank you, Vera. Our next hymn is hymn number 253, Inspired by Love and Anger.
Thank you.
that, isn't it? Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you that your word is a lamp to guide our feet and a light for your path. Jesus said that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We pray that through your word today, you would speak life into us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, open our minds and soften our hearts to hear from you, so that when we leave this place today, our lives will be transformed. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. Over the last few weeks, Ewan has been drawing attention to the work of the core groups in Cultskirk. Today, the spotlight is on the Justice and Peace group. They have a table set up in the hall, so please take some time and have a look at it during coffee this morning. If there is anyone who's moved by whatever is said this morning to help and can spare some time to help them in their work, because they do an awful lot, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, they would be grateful for any help they can get. So what do the Justice and Peace Group do? Their mission is to take the faith we talk about and put it into action so it makes a difference in the world. They do that by supporting tradecraft, which ensures that small-scale farmers get a fair price for their produce, and in turn, the labourers get a fair price for their work. The Eco Group, which supports initiatives addressing climate change and conservation. They told me this morning that you can now recycle your envelopes with a little plastic window on them. You don't have to take the plastic window off. I have to admit, I've never taken the plastic window off. But you don't have to do that anymore because the plastic windows are accepted. But they also support a plethora of local and international charities, including Amnesty International, Christian Aid, Child Sponsorship, Instant Neighbour, Cyrenians, and of course the Malawi Partnership. But something that's very important, and the importance of it doesn't seem to be diminishing in any way, is their food collection. So if you can donate to that, that would also help the needy in our own area. But what is justice anyway? The dictionary says it's quality of being just or fairness. In God's language, it's love distributed. The Bible has a lot to say about justice. Justice is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And we are to let justice roll on like a river, righteousness a never-ending stream. Jesus takes very personally what we do or don't do for others. If you don't believe me, read Matthew chapter 25 from verse 31 onwards later on. Jesus is speaking about the final judgment, and he says, "Come to me, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink." There's a lot in that scripture and in those verses, but that's something for another day. If justice is love distributed, how can we share love on a large scale? There are so many needs in the world today. Injustice is so great. Resources are few. Where do we start? Prioritization. But it's not easy with the scale of problems in the world. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." I don't think there would be many of us who turn on the news and don't at times feel overwhelmed by the injustice in the world. And that's only the things that are reported. There are plenty of unjust situations not reported in the news. And here are just a couple from this last week. Compassion, child sponsorship project, have been running in India since 1968. This week, this coming Wednesday, the 15th, that work will stop. Not because they don't have the funds to continue, but because the Indian government are blocking those funds getting to where they need to be. Child poverty in India is extremely high, and with the stopping of this work, 147,000 sponsored children will be affected. On Thursday, there was a report of a Christian MP who was publicly ridiculed because she turned up to Parliament with the mark of a cross on her forehead. She had attended an Ash Wednesday church service before going to work. To her credit, she kept the Ash cross intact as the session in Parliament was broadcast. So hallelujah for that. Both stories of injustice that we never hear about, and there are plenty more. When it comes to working for justice in the world, none of us can do it all. But how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. In today's scripture reading, Jesus demonstrates perfectly what it means to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. It's a very familiar story. We've all heard it 1,000 times. But interestingly, it's the only miracle story that appears in all 4 Gospels. So it must have had significance for the Gospel writers. It's sandwiched between the accounts of the beheading of John the Baptist and the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. Jesus wanted to be alone. He was no doubt grieving the loss of his cousin and needed rest to gather his strength. So he planned to withdraw to a lonely place for a while. For someone like Jesus, it must have been very difficult to get some alone time in a small place like Galilee. But his plan is not to be. The crowds follow him. Hunger of the soul lead people to pursue Jesus even after their stomachs have started grumbling. He didn't say, "For heaven's sake, leave me alone for a while," like I might have done. He showed no resentment over their neediness, unlike the disciples a short while later. How many times do we plan to do something and something gets in the way? Only last week, I came in from being away for the weekend, and I had driven 3 hours in torrential rain. So by the time I got home, I was really tired, and I sat down with a cup of coffee, ready to have an afternoon at the TV, which is a blessing for me at the moment. I just sat down, got my feet up, got my coffee in my hand, when the door opened, and in came my brother and his wife. I love my brother and his wife, and I'm always delighted to see them. But on this instance, just let's say that my reaction was maybe a little bit less than graceful, although they didn't know that, of course. But Jesus could see that the crowd was harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Scripture says he had compassion on them and healed their sick. One Bible version of this story says his compassion was to the depth of his being. Jesus put the needs of the crowd above his own. And isn't that what justice is? Sharing love on a large scale. Just picture the scene. 5,000 men, plus women and children. So probably closer to 10,000 hungry mouths to feed in total, enough to fill Wembley Arena. There are no fast food outlets, No shopping opportunities in this remote place. It's getting late. The people are all hungry. They've been out all day. And like the disciples, they're probably tired and a bit irritable. The disciples say to Jesus that he should send the crowd away, but that's not Jesus' idea of justice. He is determined that they are to be fed before their return home. He tells the disciples, "You feed them." What? How are we going to feed that amount of people? One of the disciples says, 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough to buy enough bread for each person to have a bite. Don't be ridiculous. But Jesus is having none of it. He's calling them to their responsibility. But overwhelmed with the task, they are powerless when faced with the scale of the problem. Please, just send the crowd away. Out of sight, out of mind. It's easier than doing anything. But Jesus doesn't let them off that lightly. And aren't we just the same? Overwhelmed with the needs around us, we can easily turn our gaze away from the problems, not because we deliberately don't want to help, but because we perceive the task to be too great. What could they do? The answer is nothing on their own. But they're not on their own, and neither are we. We are all called to active ministry. Now, don't get me wrong, our salvation comes by serving. We are saved through faith alone. We are saved through faith alone. But we are saved for serving. We are called to partner and participate with God, acting like a catalyst, if you like, between him and the work he does in the world. Our motivation for doing that should be love. Love for God and love for our neighbor. Isn't that justice? Sharing love on a large scale. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a foreshadow of the Lord's Supper. I personally believe that the miracle was a literal multiplication of food, as described in the text. I believe God is more than capable of that, but it may have been a case of human selfishness and an unwillingness to share. Would the crowd have set out without any food? Perhaps. In their excitement at seeing Jesus, they didn't stop to prepare food for the journey. They may not have planned on chasing him around the Galilean countryside. The crowd were clearly craving for Jesus, wanting to hear his words, experience his touch, and be in his presence. Some of them may have thought to bring some food with them, but certainly not enough to share with so many people. Like most human beings, they would be unlikely to produce what they had in case they felt obligated to share it and risk there not being enough for themselves. How often have we been blessed with spiritual nourishment and not passed it along? The disciples tell Jesus, "We have nothing but this boy's packed lunch, a meager 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish." They are told, "Bring them to me." Jesus is saying, "Come to me, however ill-equipped you feel. And like the faith of a mustard seed, I will turn your small offering into something much bigger." We need to change our ideas about what we can do and dream bigger. We have far too little a view sometimes of who God really is. Witnessing that all his gifts come from the Father, Jesus says grace, thanking God for providing what they had and asking him to bless it. We don't know the mechanics of how the miracle came about, but what we do know is that it had everything to do with prayer. Maybe with Jesus extending an invitation and a smile, the crowd did all begin to share what they had. And there was more than enough. Maybe. What matters is Jesus took the lead in sharing the little boy's packed lunch, And one way or another, a little food is turned into an overwhelming feast. Even if the miracle wasn't a literal multiplication of food, it was still a miracle to turn the hearts of a mass of selfish people into generous ones all at the same time. William Barclay describes it as the birth of love in grudging hearts. Either way, they were changed men and women. In a real sense, Christ fed them by sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in their hearts. Where Christ is, the weary find rest and the hungry soul is fed. Jesus gave the food to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. Jesus didn't literally feed the people. He told the disciples to do it. And God still works in the world today through our human hands and feet. They all ate and were satisfied. This is justice, sharing love on a large scale. Not only was there enough, there was more than enough. God's abundance. Little is always much in the hands of Christ. Let there be nothing wasted, he says. Wasteful extravagance is never right in God's eyes. His generous giving and our wisdom in the use of those gifts have to go hand in hand. People are supposed to see Christ's love, his sacrifice, and his self-denial in our everyday lives. Miracles are demonstrations of the always and forever operative power of Christ. Nothing is impossible for a God who created the universe out of nothing and raised a dead man to everlasting life. We meet Jesus when we reach out to the hungry, the thirsty, the imprisoned. To be a disciple is to express concrete acts of love, justice, and compassion towards others. A tough call in a world gripped by the forces of evil, which are driving millions of people and the planet itself into desperate situations. People's need for health, truth, nourishment, and peace of mind can all be satisfied in him. But we need to truly believe that before we can convince others. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. God's intention for love, peace, and justice in the world will ultimately prevail. It's a promise. In the meantime, like the little boy offering up his lunch, we are to give Jesus the little we can, whether that be in time, money, or our talents, or all three, and watch what he can do with it to keep justice rolling like a river and righteousness flowing like an ending stream. I'm going to finish with a story I heard a few years ago. You may have had the habit of walking along the beach every morning before he began his work. Early one morning, he was walking along the shore after a big storm had passed and found that the vast beach was littered with starfish as far as his eye could see in both directions. Off in the distance, the old man noticed a small boy approaching. As the boy walked closer, he paused every so often, and as he drew closer to the man could see that he was occasionally bending down to pick up an object and throw it into the sea. As the boy came closer still, the man called out, "Good morning. May I ask what it is you're doing?" The young boy paused, looked up and smiled, "Throwing starfish into the ocean. The tide has washed them up onto the beach, and they can't return to the sea by themselves. When the sun gets high, they will die unless I throw them back into the water," the boy replied. The old man said, "But there must be tens of thousands of starfish on this beach. I'm afraid you won't be able to make much of a difference." The boy bent down, picked up yet another starfish and threw it as far as he could into the ocean. Then he turned and smiled and said, "It made a difference to that one." To the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's continue our worship by singing hymn number 259, Beauty for Brokenness. Continue to worship God with our offering. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have made us everything we are and given us everything we have. So we offer these gifts of money back to you in gratitude for your generosity and love. Guide us in using them, Father, in ways that will bless your church, our local community, and the wider world, so that all may know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Holy Father, you call us to pray for the needs of others. So we ask that you hear our prayers in Jesus' name for those who need your help at this time. We focus our prayers today on justice and peace. We pray for our church here, Lord. Be with Ewan and Joan as they seek to serve you and this community. Strengthen and protect them in all they do. May your blessing also be upon the Kirk Session and the core groups who seek to care, bring justice to those in need, and to honour you in the work they do. We lift to you the Barnabas Fund, who work tirelessly to relieve the suffering of the persecuted church all over the world. We pray especially for Southeast Asia, where drought followed by repeated bouts of severe flooding have severely impacted rural communities, destroying homes and crops, leaving people vulnerable to poverty, hunger, and sickness. You are the God who provides. Help them, Lord, in their need. We also thank you for the Compassion Child Sponsorship Programs and others like them, where millions of children are fed, taught, and cared for in the poorest countries around the world. We pray in particular for those affected in India, where the situation for compassion projects is critical. You are a God of miracles. And we pray for a miracle in this situation. We trust that you will continue to work through your people in India in remarkable ways to provide for those who need it most. Father, your world is crying out for justice and peace. The needs around us are overwhelming, but help us to look beyond what we can see to you, the God for whom nothing is impossible. Move us to be like the boy on the beach and do what we can, where we can, to help. Help us to remember that nothing, but nothing, will ultimately hinder your purposes for your creation. We pray in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. To conclude our service, we'll sing hymn number 706, For the Healing of the Nations.
Thank you.
And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all and remain with us and those whom we love. In Jesus' name.